I think you might just have taken the sermon with you. Excellent. So not only am I on a leash this morning, so I can't really walk very far. I don't have a sermon either. It's all going well. It's okay, Tony. It's really all right. I'm not going to go very far anyway. All right, so this is indeed the first Sunday in Advent. So we have four Sundays in Advent, symbolized by the four candles that we're going to light over the next 4 weeks, which means that it's not really very long till Christmas now. I'm sure you're all delighted to hear that it's not really very long till Christmas. So, indeed, Tony. I don't know that I really want to hear that, but never mind. Anyway, it's... So the first Sunday in Advent, and as Shona said this morning, as we light each Advent candle, we think of a particular thing that's associated with Advent. So we're thinking about hope this morning. And so we are thinking about hope and the fact that hope longs for something. Hope waits patiently for whatever is coming. And that's what we're thinking about, the hope in Advent, as we hope and we wait expectantly. We've been singing about that this morning already. We read last week 1 Corinthians 13, and we were in that passage last week, and we're kind of going to kind of springboard off that into our series for Advent. So our new series for Advent for four Sundays starts today, and the series is called Love Came Down. And really it's about what love looks like and how love came down at Christmas and what that looks like, what God incarnate looks like at Christmas time and how he embodies the love that came down at Christmas and what that love looks like. So we're going to be looking at that over the next 4 weeks. And we're starting this week with the first wee bit of those of 1 Corinthians 13 at verse 4. We're starting with love is patient this morning, and we're thinking about the patient love of God this morning as he waited for us, and we're thinking about that in relation to our patience as we wait and we think about waiting for the coming Christ through Advent and going towards Christmas. So that's where we're at this morning. That's what we're going to think about. And then over the next few weeks, we're going to consider some of the other loves in the passage that we read last week, in those couple of verses that we read last week. I want to tell you, though, about the fact that we're going to do this over four Sundays. And on the fourth Sunday, which will be Christmas Eve, we're going to do, yes, it will indeed be Christmas Eve. We're going to do something different on Christmas Eve. So we're going to have a family service on Christmas Eve. Yes, we are. And the invitation to you, I'm family service in the morning on Christmas Eve. The invitation to you is to come dressed up that morning. So we are going to do the dress up thing. What we'd love you to do is, we'd love you to come dressed as a character from the Christmas story. And we're going to have a living nativity that Sunday morning. Now, the only way we get a living nativity, don't shake your head, Alan, that's not nice. It's that thing where you can actually be seen from the front row, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, it's coming back again, isn't it? We are going to have a living nativity, and so the only way we can have a living nativity is if we do actually have some people dressed up, otherwise it's going to be a bit of a damp squib. So any character from the Christmas story, any character from the Christmas story, and you can take part in the living nativity that we're going to have. We're not going to do anything horrible. All we're going to do is build up the picture of the nativity, so you're not going to be asked to sing, dance, jump up and down, say anything, do it. You're not being asked to do a turn. You only need to stand in the one place dressed as your character, and then we'll get a photograph of the living nativity. So that's what we're going to try and do. We will do that, and it will be okay, and we will manage to do it. We will organize ourselves. We don't need camels or donkeys or anything like that, unless you want to dress as one. So don't feel, we don't want to get into trouble with our friends at the White Inch Centre for trailing in livestock, so we don't really want to do that. If you would like to dress, and I know there are some of you who already have, believe it or not, amongst us, camel costumes and donkey costumes. I already know this because some people have spoken to me already. If you want to wear your donkey costume or your camel onesie or whatever, then you go right ahead and wear your camel onesie. So that's what we're going to try and do on Christmas Eve. And we're going to make that an invitational service. We would love you to be able to invite your friends to come and see the spectacle. We would love you to be able to do that. You know, We want to be able to create places where people can land as far as church is concerned. We don't want to be standing away back here with everybody else over there. So we want to create places where we can have people come across that bridge into church and see that we are actually normal. This is going to be as normal as we can possibly be. So we're going to do something fun at Christmas, really, is the answer to that. The second part of that is, if you want to encourage people in terms of the theme, we're actually going to be using the film Elf that Sunday morning to theme the service roundabout. So if you really, really, really don't want to dress up as a character from the Nativity, you can come as an elf if you like. You will not be in the Nativity picture, just saying, because we want to be quite clear that the elves didn't actually come to the stable, so we do actually want to be clear on that. But if you want to have a bit of fun, then you're very welcome to do that. I had originally thought of not doing the Living Nativity and just asking everybody to dress as elves, so you could see all the elves coming in on Christmas Eve. But I thought that might send the wrong message to people, so I thought, well, maybe we should actually do the Nativity thing. So anyway, that's giving you advance warning, that's going to be 3 weeks today, so you've got plenty of time to think about your costume and to work out how many tea towels you actually need to wrap around your head to look like a shepherd, and that should be fun, and it should be good fun, and a nice easy way. We're going to have all the kids in, so kids won't go out to Revolution that day. There'll be no Revolution for them, and it really will be a family service that day. So that's what we're planning to do. And that whole thing of family, just to say, you know, when you gather together at Christmas time, and the thing is that we can't always all do what we want to do, because we've got to think about everybody else in the family too. And so sometimes we give up the thing that we want to do because actually it helps somebody else to feel part of the thing. And we do that in our families at Christmas time. And we're going to do that as a church family at Christmas time as well. So plenty of opportunities for us to do our thing over Christmas. And on that Christmas Sunday, on that 24th, we really want to be family and encourage everybody to be part of what we're doing. Everybody who's part of our family here and everybody who's not yet part of our family here, it's a really good way to invite people to actually come in. And then maybe we'll see if we can do mince pies or something. We'll see. Maybe Fair Share will bless us with mince pies that particular week. So anyway, we're going to look at Love is Patient today. So thank you for patiently waiting for Love is Patient to start. Let me read you just a couple of verses from 1 Corinthians that we're kind of landing in over the next few weeks. So 1 Corinthians 13 verses 5 to 7 says this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And we talked a bit about that last week, didn't we? We talked about that last week, and we talked about how when we think about what love is, then sometimes we fall really far short of that. But when we look at God, we see love incarnate. We actually see in Jesus love incarnate. We see God where his essence is love and where everything he does. So you can replace the word love in that passage with God, because God is patient and he's kind and he doesn't envy and he does not boast, etc., etc., etc. And so when we get close to God and we get to know God and we get to experience him, then we actually get to experience love as well in the very purest form of itself. So we're thinking about what it is to be patient today, and we're thinking about the patience of God in the midst of the whole of history, actually, the patience of God and the patience of God waiting until the time was right to send Jesus. Last week, we had the minions who were demonstrating love. I'm going to let you watch another video today. And this is not the minions this week, but we're still in Disney. So we're with Shrek this week. So let's have a wee look at Shrek. Okay, so I'm not sure that Donkey had very much patience for the journey. And you know, we laugh at that, and we laugh at what Donkey's doing, and we do laugh at it, but actually we laugh at it an awful lot because we recognise ourselves in it, don't we? Because we recognise ourselves, and we recognise the fact that we actually want to get there as fast as we possibly can, and sometimes the journey is the thing that is really frustrating for us. When I started to look at around the subject of patience, again, the dictionary is always a good place to go. And the dictionary defines patience as this: the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. I'm not sure Donkey was managing to demonstrate any of that there. And you know, for us, that's often the case too, isn't it? For us, as time goes on, as we've to wait, sometimes we get a bit annoyed, we get a bit anxious, and we're not really entirely patient. And the question that we're asking, even if we're not asking it with our voices and with the words, the question that we're asking is, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And you know, when we look when we think about Advent and we think about waiting and we think about the 4 weeks of Advent leading up to Christmas, that we're thinking about waiting, I wonder about how God felt in the waiting, how God felt in the waiting from the very beginning of time before Jesus came. I wonder how he felt about that. Shona read already this morning from Luke 1, and that's actually the passage that we're going to look at this morning as well. We're going to look at the fact that at this point, God knew that the waiting was finally over and he was going to come. So we're looking at Luke 1, and we're going to read from verse 26 to 38. And we've heard some of this already this morning. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. "May your word be to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. You know, this was the fulfillment of all of that God had been looking forward to, all of the promise that was there way back in Isaiah chapter 7, hundreds of years before. Isaiah prophesies, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." God had incredible patience all the way through. And as you look from Genesis all the way through Scripture, right the way through even to Revelation, but particularly from Genesis all the way through to the start of the New Testament, to the promise fulfilled in Jesus, we see the incredible patience of God. The incredible patience of God with the humanity that he created. The incredible patience of God with the world. And the incredible patience of God himself with us. I don't know if any of you are on Facebook. I know a number of you are. I'd asked Nicola if I could use this morning. Nicola put this picture up on Facebook that she was meditating on for Advent, and I thought that it just embodied what I was thinking about for this morning. And so if you take a look at that picture, and that is the promise of God, that when we walked away from him in the garden, his intention was always to come and rescue us. It was not a plan B. It wasn't because things didn't work out that this was the only way to do it. From the very beginning of time, Jesus, the pre-incarnate Jesus, knew that he would come. From the very beginning of time, God knew that this is what he was going to do, because he would become one of us and he would walk with us, because his heart was to continue to walk with us. You see, in the cool of the garden with Adam and Eve, his heart was to walk with them. He came every day in the garden to meet with them, and he walked with them. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Imagine what it must have been like to get to the end of the day where it was starting to, things were starting to cool off, and you'd done your day's stuff, and then God shows up and shows up as God and walks with you and talks with you about your day. Can you imagine what that must have been like? And that was always God's intention. His intention was always to walk with us. He didn't walk away from us. We walked away from him. And then for the whole of the Old Testament, he pursued us. From the very beginning of time, he was pursuing us. And the end point of that was that Jesus came. And so the picture that speaks of the beginning, when we walked away and when God came back right into our midst to do what he'd always planned to do, to be with us, is embodied in the picture. From the very beginning of time, from the very point where we in the garden, where Adam and Eve walked away from him, God was waiting. He was pursuing us from the very beginning. His whole heart was to walk with us in the cool of the evening, like he said he was going to do with Adam and Eve, and like he did. And Adam and Eve were the ones that run. And you know, we were and are the ones who keep running. For some reason, we couldn't slow down enough just to walk with him and to be with him. I once read in this, and this stuck with me, and I think it's true, that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden, I don't think that they were never ever meant to eat from that. I actually think that there was a walking out, and God said, don't do that, don't touch that, because you can't cope with that just now. Come and walk with me, don't touch that, leave that alone, we'll grow in that together. And that really was God's heart. But somehow Adam and Eve couldn't wait for him. They couldn't wait on God's time, and they had to go and short-circuit it themselves. And that's been true if you look all the way through. It's true for us in terms of waiting for God and waiting for him to do stuff. And it's been true all the way through scripture, and you can see various places where it's true. So Adam and Eve couldn't wait for God. They couldn't wait for him to walk it out with them. They took the law into their own hands and went and helped themselves to the tree. Abraham couldn't wait. God had said to Abraham, I'll give you descendants, they'll come. And Abraham couldn't wait, and he took the law into his own hands. Then the Israelites couldn't wait, could they? They couldn't wait for what God wanted, and they were continually trying to short-circuit. You know, so Moses goes up the hill, and they're waiting on him to come back down, and they couldn't even wait long enough for him to come back down to tell them what had happened. They make the golden calf at the bottom, and they start going back to doing what it is they think they need to do. David couldn't wait. So David couldn't wait at peace and do what he was meant to do. David saw Bathsheba and wanted Bathsheba and went off in that direction. He couldn't wait either. And all the way through, we see folks who couldn't wait. But all the way through, God was entirely patient. And God's patience never ever runs out, because love is patient and love is willing to wait. Love is willing to wait as long as it might take. Even if it's hundreds of years, the love of God was prepared to wait. And you know, God is still entirely patient, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He's still entirely patient. God is still prepared to wait. God's still prepared to wait, and he's still prepared to wait for you and for me. He's waiting for us to stop running. He's waiting for us to stop running off to try and do it our way. He's waiting for us to stop running, to realize that actually he's on the path with us. We don't need to run on ahead. He's waiting for us to stop running away from the stuff that he knows we need to deal with. He's waiting for us to stop running and hiding from him. He's waiting for us to stop running, sometimes in the opposite direction. But sometimes we even run towards him, and we run so fast that we miss him and we go straight past him and out the other side. God's waiting for us, and he's waiting for us to stop running. God's still entirely patient. He's not exasperated by our mess-ups. So he doesn't look and think, man, For goodness sake, you've done it again. For goodness sake, when are you going to learn to stop doing that? I've had enough now. I'm off to work with somebody else. He never ever looks and says that. He's never exasperated by our mess-ups because he's entirely patient. So even back to the Shrek clip, even with Donkey in the back making all the noises, and sometimes we're Donkey in the back making all the noises saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And we do stuff and then we mess up and then we do more stuff and then we mess up. God never gets to the point that Shrek got to, where he gets so exasperated that he blows a gasket at Donkey. God never gets to that place because God is entirely patient. Because love is entirely patient. And God continues to hope, even in the midst of what looks like it's never ever going to come in our eyes. God still continues to hope because love always hopes. God still continues to persevere because love always perseveres. I don't know about you, but I'm really glad that God doesn't get exasperated and walk off and give up on me. Maybe you don't do anything that God might get exasperated with, but I know that there are times that I do stuff that God gets really, that if I was God, I would get really exasperated with me. But God doesn't get exasperated because he embodies patience, because love is patient. And he's still patient. He's still entirely patient. So wherever you're sitting this morning and whatever you're at this morning, whatever is going on with you this morning, you need to know that God's entirely patient because love is entirely patient. So God's still entirely patient, and he's also not surprised at our lack of patience with ourselves or with each other. That doesn't surprise him. Sometimes we are more patient with other people than we are with ourselves. Sometimes we beat ourselves with a big stick because we set out to try and do something or to fix something in our lives or to be somebody different or do things differently. And we go along for a wee while and then we crash and burn and we go back to doing the stuff that we were doing before. God's never surprised when we mess up, nor is he ever surprised at our lack of patience with ourselves. The thing is that sometimes we're really impatient with ourselves and sometimes we're really impatient with other people. And what can happen then is we do a bit of projection. And so we assume because we're impatient with ourselves and we're impatient with other people, we project onto God and we assume that God's impatient with us and that God's fed up with us and that we've blown our lot and blown our chances and we can't do anymore. And that God somehow has walked off. And if that's what you're believing this morning, I want you to hear that you're believing a lie. God never ever walks off. God never ever goes off in the huff. Because love is entirely patient. Love is entirely kind. And love continues to hope. Even in the midst of the chaos that we create, love continues to hope. So God is still entirely patient. And I want to... we are about to land, and I realise that this is probably a very short preach this morning. Don't really make any apologies for that, because actually I think God's doing something quite profound in terms of patience and in terms of the love that he wants to demonstrate to us. There's an invitation to step into that love over the course of Advent in a way perhaps that we've not stepped into it before. There's an invitation to experience that love that's patient and that's kind. That love that rejoices in the truth. That love that hopes even in the midst of whatever is going on, continues to hope. So I want to ask you, in terms of love being patient and love always hoping this morning, I want to ask you what God's saying to you. And what are you going to do about it? We talked about running. Are you here today and you know that you need to stop running? Do you know that you've been... Are you sitting here and your stomach's flipping because you actually know that you've been running at 100 miles an hour in the opposite direction from God? And that doesn't mean to say that you're not a Christian. You may well be sitting here having committed to Jesus with faith, but actually know that you're running in the opposite direction to the direction that God is encouraging you to come in. are you running this morning? Do you need to stop running this morning? And actually just say, God, you know, I'm done. I don't want to run anymore. So if you really haven't gone anywhere, show me where you are. And I guarantee you that he'll be standing right beside you because he hasn't gone anywhere. Do you need to know that because love is patient, there's another chance for you? Do you need to know this morning that actually even if it's the 40th time that you've fallen down with something that you've really been trying to get a handle on, do you need to hear this morning that love is really patient and that God is really patient and that there's always another chance? There's a second chance, there's a third chance, there's a 42nd chance. Because what we said last week about posture being really important, God knows our heart. And so if we're just going out and doing things willfully and not desperately wanting to actually change, God knows that. But actually for all of us, there's a real desire to do something different. And like Paul, we keep doing the things that we don't want to do, and the things that we do want to do, we don't do. And God says this morning, love is patient. There's another chance. It doesn't matter how many times you've fallen down. Today, come and get back up again. Today, come and say to Jesus, lift me back up again. I've messed up, I've screwed up again. But come and lift me back up again. And do you need to hear that love is so patient? That love is just standing there. God is standing there waiting, just waiting for you to say, man, I've done it again. Is there a road back? Because the answer to that is there's always a road back. Or in the midst of all of this, as you think about love being patient, do you need the Holy Spirit to grow patience in you for yourself or maybe for other people? One of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. Do you need God to grow that in you over this Advent season? Do you need him to grow it in you because you get really impatient with other people? Or do you need him to grow it in you because you need patience with yourself? Because you are still a work in progress, just like me, and you fall over and you don't get it right. And sometimes you need to go back to God and say, God, can you help me? I'm stuck again. I was talking to somebody yesterday and I was thinking about this as I was putting this together last night, or I was finishing this last night and this morning. I heard myself say to somebody yesterday, my grace has run out. And in the moment of saying that, I meant it. And afterwards I thought, that's really bad, isn't it? And my grace needs to not run out. But my grace does run out, but his grace never ever runs out. And so when my grace runs out, the answer is not I need to get more grace. The answer is I need to get closer to him because I actually need some of his grace to overflow into me. So when I run out of patience, it's not I need to work at my patience, it's I need to get closer to him so that I can absorb his patience, so that I can be in tune with his patience for me and for everybody else. So what's God saying to you and what are you going to do about it? What does the Advent journey look like for you this Advent season? What does it look like to journey further into the heart of what love is and of who love is? What does that look like? What does it look like for you and me personally? What does it look like in terms of changing how we behave towards ourselves and towards each other? And what does it look like as a fellowship, as a faith family here, to go deeper into who God is in terms of God being love and love coming down? What does it mean to go deeper into that? What does it look like for us then to take that out into a world at Advent that's so busy that it can't slow down, that's running from one thing to the next, to buy this, to buy that, to do this, to do that? What does it look like to slow down and rediscover the patience that comes from perfect love in the midst of Advent? Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you had a plan from the very beginning, and I thank you for your patience in waiting to bring that plan into the place that it needed to be. Father, I thank you that you are still patient because love is still patient and you are perfect love. I thank you for your patience with us, that even though we run, you're still there. Even though we mess up, you're still there. Even though we get it wrong with one another, you're still there. Father, I thank you that you're not jumping up and down yelling, for goodness sake, are we there yet? Father, I thank you that you're prepared to walk with us on the journey. And I pray for any of us that are struggling this morning with that walk, with that journey. And I pray, Father, that you would come, that Jesus would come, and that he would be real this morning. That he would be close up and personal with us, that we would hear him encourage us to get back up and to keep moving. That he would encourage us to come back and to experience what real love is. Father, that in the midst of this Advent season, we would rediscover that love did indeed come down at Christmas. That love wasn't simply a soppy red heart, but that love did something, that love was an action. Father, in the midst of our preparations, will you come and meet with us? Will you come again and teach us how to slow down and how to develop patience, how to grow patience? Will you grow that in us, that we would be patient with each other, that we would be patient with ourselves, and that we'd know what it is to patiently wait for you.